Oh, we have a lot of ground to cover with Jimmy Complett. Good morning. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Good morning, and Happy New Year to you, too.
Thank you.
Let's start with the governor's ball. Did you go to the inaugural ball last night?
No, I didn't. No.
I'm happy about that, too.
I didn't know
I
what
had dinner with Lappy.
Yeah, but it's like the governor's ball.
Oh, wait, you had dinner with Lappy last night?
Yeah. What do you call that? What did I do last night? I certainly wasn't at the governor's ball.
Right. We're doing charity.
Doing charity. I guess State Senator George Logan played a Jimi Hendrix-type Star Spangled Banner.
Really?
Yeah, let me play a little bit of it. That's cool, right?
Yeah.
And it's cool because, you know, you see this giant room beautifully decorated, all these people in these gowns and tuxedos, and they're sitting there politely watching Senator Logan in a tuxedo with a Stratocaster.
Right. I heard Susan Bicewitz actually crowd surfed where she fell accidentally. One of the two.
No, I wasn't sure. I thought there was a possibility that you would be there.
I was invited, but and I'm very political, but I sort of work behind the scenes.
Yeah,
gotcha.
I really try. You know, I'm trying to get things passed. We have a 10% tax that I want to get rid of on concert tickets and things like that. So I work behind the scenes. I try not to make it too obvious.
Yeah, we were invited, but we thought it might be awkward.
Yeah, kind of weird.
I'm not a tuxedo person.
No, not
and,
worse.
I like to go to bed early.
Yeah, I don't have formal flip flops.
There's a lot of things just working against me being there last night.
Yeah, really.
So Woodstock.
Yes.
It was announced, and now they're saying maybe Pearl Jam, maybe Foo Fighters. What do you know?
Well, there were competing Woodstocks going on right now, so there's a lot of confusion going on. I'll be happy to explain it. There's a celebration that's not being called Woodstock at the Woodstock site. That's going to take place over the same 3 days that Woodstock took place last, 50 years ago. And that's going to be at the amphitheater that's in Bethel, New York, which is the site of the original Woodstock from 69. The other Woodstock, which Michael Lang, who's a buddy of mine, who I worked with in 94 with Woodstock 94, which was Woodstock 25, he's doing one up at Watkins Glen, where I did Watkins Glen, so we're back in 1973. So there are two competing Woodstocks. I don't know who's going to be at which one, but I do believe Pearl Jam might be at one. I do believe Foo Fighters might be at one. I do believe there'll be competing festivals. I would think the bigger one's going to end up being at Watkins Glen with Michael rather than at Bethel, because the capacity is much bigger.
And I was going to say, if you you know the business better than anybody on the planet, you're friends with Michael, my thought would be he would have the better and bigger acts.
Well, he's also got the name, and everything is brands today. I mean, you see artists like Journey and Styx and Fleetwood Mac that tour with other artists that are not original artists, and they still draw giant crowds. So in today's world, brands are really important. I remember when Styx broke up, and I was sure that the lead singer going out on his own would draw as many people as Styx, but I was wrong. The brand Styx worked. And I would assume if Steve Perry went out on his own, he'd be playing places like Oakdale, but Journey plays arenas. So I would think the brand Woodstock would get more people and more artists than just something at the old site.
And then Phish announced, and I know you kind of announced this early on the show, but the official announcement came out yesterday.
Yes, we are really happy to bring Phish to Mohegan Sun for two nights. Something new, something interesting. We'll see how it will sell out instantly, I'm sure of that.
Yeah.
And we'll see how the casino feels about having fish heads roaming around.
See, I thought it was a seafood restaurant. I totally misread that. Like, I'll go down and get fish in Mohegan Sun. Cool.
Yeah, so two nights you think will sell out instantly?
I think instantly. I mean, you can't see Phish in a... When was the last time they played an 8,000-seat arena? My goodness. I mean, it should be pretty special, I would think.
Are you surprised by their success? or no?
No, I'm not surprised. I'm not a Fish fan. I don't really know much of their music. I'm a real Deadhead, but I'm not a Fish fan. I'm not surprised at their success. I worked with them right from the beginning. They play really, really tight music, and we helped them at the beginning. I helped them at the beginning with their old manager put together this whole concept of them touring and doing their own tickets and traveling around, because I worked with the Dead. So I used to spend some time up in Vermont with the manager and showing them how we do it with the Dead. And then he came down to a couple of Dead shows down at Nassau Coliseum, actually, and he watched us in action before he did everything. So, no, I'm not really surprised.
Mm. They tapped into that market, right?
Yep.
I mean, that's...
The next generation. There are Deadheads that like Fish, but it really is a bit younger generation than Deadheads.
Put the two together. Have the Dead Fish.
I don't know.
That'd be cool. Like squeezing the Hooters.
Yeah, that's if you're selling concert tickets, not food.
Exactly.
Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR. I wish I had the last sentence that Jimmy said before we just went on.
Well... Yeah. Oh, I wish we knew now, too.
The crap that comes through the cue speaker.
No.
That was a good time.
All right.
I would never let that happen to Jimmy.
See that?
Thank you. That would be awful.
Okay, gotcha.
Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, Jimmy Coppock, Live Nation Concert, got on the show. We were talking about Fish, and we were talking about the Dead, and is there any other things in that arena or universe we could talk about?
Yeah, sure. We're actually working real hard on getting Bob Weir into Oakdale. I probably shouldn't say it, and it might hurt my chances. I don't think it will. We're pretty close. Bob Weir tours with a band called the Wolf Brothers, and tons of Dead stuff. And we don't have Dead & Company this year in Connecticut. So I've gone to them. I said, hey, come on. I'd like to get Phil into Connecticut, too, so I'm working on that also. But that would be later in the year. But I'm really close to getting Bob Weir into Oakdale. I think we'll end up seeing Bob Weir at Oakdale sometime in the spring.
And you guys are very close. Do you talk directly to him, or do you talk to his people?
I talk to his people until I see him, and then I see him. Bob, I introduced Bob to a girlfriend of his that he had for at least 10 or 15 years when Bobby and the Midnights played Woolsey Hall back in the 70s and met someone, a very pretty girl, and they were going out for at least 10 years.
Wow.
Well, I will never for the rest of my life forget the story of you being in the car when Bob Weir told Bruce Hornsby he's not going to be in the band anymore.
Basically, you're fired.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's a Kodak moment.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, yeah, I expected, I mean, I being on the inside, I knew exactly what Bruce Hornsby was getting paid. And I said to myself, this guy's going to start crying right in front of me.
Nope.
No, he was a gentleman. I mean, I had the highest regard for Bruce Hornsby. They said, you know, you're right. Vince is ready to take over full time. Because this tour that we were on during the summer, Vince and Bruce were both playing keyboards. And
you don't really need to.
He said, that's just the way it is.
Yep. He said, okay, great. I think Vince will do great. What a gentleman. Highest respect for him.
But for
I
Bob,
probably would have whined like cried like a baby.
Yeah, really.
If Bob Weir would do something like that right in front of you, that speaks to how close he is to you and how much he trusts you.
It would have sucked if Bob was driving.
Well, you know.
Bruce was driving.
Bruce was driving. Oh, yeah? Telephone call.
Car!
Yeah. So, Bob Weir. You're
trying to get Bob Weir in. We're really working hard on that.
A while back, you mentioned, I think you didn't say the name, but I think you mentioned a Spanish guitar player, and we guessed Santana.
Who celebrated his 50th birthday at Xfinity back when he was 50, which was probably 20 years ago.
Yeah.
We're real close. We're one step away from Santana. We're talking all San Francisco artists. I might as well talk about it. Another one, the opening act, I believe, will end up being the Doobie Brothers.
That'll be the best night.
Gotta have concerts. Yep.
Doobie Brothers and the Santana, a night of just great music.
You always start with Doobies.
Right. You start with Doobies and then you do your Santana.
Exactly.
Right. Right.
When do you think that would be?
It'll be summertime at Xfinity. Early August we're working on right
and
now.
And you're looking for a Friday or Saturday night? Is that?
I always look for Fridays and Saturday nights.
Cool.
I always look for them. Well, I get it. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But I always work on Fridays, Saturdays, or Sundays. I don't know why. That means I have to work a weekend. But I know tickets sell better, so we always work on Fridays, Saturdays. But every other promoter in the country is also always working on Fridays and Saturdays.
Gotcha.
Dave Matthews skipped us last year.
No, he didn't. No, he skipped 2 years ago. He didn't skip. Oh, he didn't tour 2 years ago. No, he played last year, and then he played Mohegan Sun in December. And we will have him back at Xfinity, basically the same time period, June. It won't be announced for a couple of weeks, other than I just did it myself, I guess.
Pretty much.
This didn't happen, people. Move along.
Jimmy's saying
back,
this might happen.
Might.
Yeah, yeah. Working out.
Thank you, guys. Save me.
No problem.
We'll have Dave back, and it will be great. And it's always a Saturday night, and it's a lot of fun. And so, Dave Matthews fans, get ready. We'll get him back.
A member of the tribe emailed me a few weeks back, and a great question. We didn't get a chance to ask him, so I'll ask you now. Dickie Betts, have you heard? Is he doing okay?
You know, we talked about bringing him back, and it looks like he's not on the road right now. And I saw a picture of him playing with his son on stage for a couple of songs. I don't think he's okay.
No.
Because I would love to put Dickie on a show. I wouldn't headline him, but boy, he'd be a good support act with somebody. He would have been great with the Allman, Santana, something like that.
Right. Yeah.
And I don't hear or see anything of him. And you know, he's lived a hard life, and he's 74 or something like that, and he hadn't played guitar in over 2 years. Literally had not picked up a guitar in over 2 years.
He had a
stroke. I think that he's not as well as we had hoped at this point.
Bummer.
Yeah,
I agree.
Jimmy Coppock, Live Nation Concert, got on the show. Boy, a bunch of unofficial announcements and hints in the last break. And if we put that up as a podcast, Jimmy, audio on demand, is that going to get you in trouble? Should we just leave it?
Nah, I'm used to getting in trouble. What the hell?
All right.
I don't think it could cost me my job. I can only be yelled at.
Really? Okay. Right. How can God get in trouble? He's the Live Nation Concerts God.
That's right.
What's higher than Live Nation Concerts God?
It is a good feeling knowing that you could screw up and not get fired.
Yeah.
That's a good feeling.
Yeah, I try
that.
It is
a good feeling. Partially, probably, they don't want to fire the old guy is what they're saying. But, yeah, it's a nice feeling.
Right, you'd have a case.
Yeah, it wouldn't look good on paper.
Age discrimination. So there were a bunch of celebrity birthdays, and we thought, well, let's throw the name out there and see if you have a story regarding them. Jimmy Page, 75 years old yesterday.
Wow, 75, huh? Well, I'll tell you, I tried a Led Zeppelin show once, and I had to cancel it down in West Palm Beach. So I never promoted a Led Zeppelin show. But I did a ton of Plant Page shows, and probably a lot of your listeners went to them, back at the Coliseum and at the Springfield Civic Center. Really was dying to meet Jimmy Page and Robert Plant. I had met Robert Plant. I told the Robert Plant story a couple of weeks ago. That was great. But I never met Jimmy Page, so I really wanted to meet Jimmy Page. So I'm at the Springfield Civic Center at Plant and Page, and I said, listen, I'd love to say hi to Jimmy Page. You know, there were no cell phones, and I would have really liked a picture with him. But so they go, okay, no problem. So I'm waiting and waiting, and all of a sudden, a whole caravan of people come in, and Jimmy Page is a little guy. He's not a tall guy, a little guy. And I'm looking.
How tall would you say he is?
5'7".
Okay.
Oh, wow.
That's interesting, because you would think he's larger than life.
Yeah.
And then you're standing next to him, it's like, wow, you got an inch on him.
Oh, look at you. Oh, so cute. Oh, so cute.
Right.
So this whole crowd, I'm looking, where's Jimmy Page? Where's Jimmy Page? And all of a sudden I see him. They're literally dragging him in with his front of his feet dragging along the floor.
That's never a good sign.
Like, he has his arm over each person on the left and right. Yeah,
it was ridiculous. Yeah, it was like when they take a football player off the field, his arm's over each shoulder of another guy.
Right.
But at least the football player has one bad knee. He hurt his knee. The other leg is moving. No, his legs weren't even moving.
Right. Mm-hmm. They planted him on the couch.
So would you say he was dazed and confused?
That was the Page plant. They planted him. We take Jimmy Page, we plant him.
So I go over to the tour manager. I go, well, I guess that takes care of me meeting Jimmy Page, huh? Is he going to even play tonight? Road manager looks at me and goes, oh, he'll be fine. I go, okay. He says, say hi to him right before we go on stage. I go, okay. About an hour later, he comes out. He's Jimmy Page all of a sudden. He's walking, he's talking, how are you? The greatest recovery of whatever he had taken I've seen anybody do in my life. And I've seen a lot of people bad off.
Right.
This guy had the greatest recovery resilience I've ever seen of any person. He was normal. He was great. We had a wonderful conversation. He went up and crushed it with Robert Plant.
That's nuts.
Great. Probably had that nice white powder, that
yeah.
marching powder.
So would you say that was like, let's counteract one drug with another drug?
Yeah. You know, it might work. I once tried that and had a seizure, so that doesn't
always work. Yeah, test things out.
And you know what? I just realized it wasn't Plant Page. It was the firm.
Oh.
Ow.
Hey. It was the firm.
He wasn't firm at all.
Yeah. Right. Paul Rogers.
It's a floppy.
Yep.
Would you say, so if you had to compare Joe Walsh with the Eagles at Yale Bowl and Jimmy Page at this show, who was more effed up?
I would say Steven Tyler at Springfield Civic Center.
Oh.
Was the most effed up person I've ever seen in my life that got on stage and played.
Wow.
And how was it?
He was amazing.
Really?
But he was almost unconscious when we brought him in.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I was thinking we had to cancel the show. And he was great. He made a great recovery. Joe Walsh, I was involved in that recovery. I mean, he was perfectly fine. That was probably the greatest instant recovery.
Right. As soon as you dipped his nuts in the ice cold bucket.
Yep, that'll do it.
Woke him right up.
Yep. He had to pee afterwards, too. I would think.
Yale Bowl.
Right.
Yale Bowl.
So it's tough to pee with an elevator
button. Did everyone know how close we came to having that show canceled.
Right.
Because it's the most famous concert in all of Connecticut.
Right.
Yeah. It's the largest concert in the history of Connecticut. 70,000 people.
And you know what's funny? 70,000 people, but like 3 million people say they were there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, we've got that picture, you know, the overhead picture. They can just look and see if they were really there.
Yeah, right.
They circle at me.
Yale University sued us over that picture.
Is that right?
Yeah, well, the picture comes out in their live album. The live album had no New Haven songs on it, but they thought that poster was so great, so they put the poster of the Yale Bowl concert in the album, and I get a lawsuit from Yale saying we had no right to use the name Yale, because the scoreboard says Yale Bowl on it. So in a little tiny thing, it said Yale Bowl, and I get sued by Yale.
Wow. How did that suit go?
I was doing concerts at Woolsey Hall, and I threatened not to do any more concerts, and they pulled it back.
There you go, see?
Yeah, there you go.
I'm trying to crack that whip.
And then shortly after that, you booked Paul McCartney there, and that didn't work out.
No, that didn't work out.
The neighborhood
went
bananas.
Right. That was terrible.
We're so sorry, Jimmy Koplik.
Sorry. Yeah. David Bowie celebrated or would have celebrated a birthday. Was it this
that's
week
too bad.
Or last week?
It was this week.
This week.
It
was
David Bowie's the 8th.
Yeah.
8th, yes.
Well, we had David Bowie at the New Haven Coliseum, and he was going to be sued by a fellow promoter for a no-show, and our creed among us promoters was, okay, we'll let you sue the act, but serve them the papers after the show, not before the show. So the regular set ends, he gets off the stage, walks back to the dressing room, and the stupid promoter served in papers before the encore. So David gets all upset and refuses to come out of the dressing room. The crowd, and I'll remember it like it was yesterday still, stomping. I go up on stage figuring David's not coming back out, and I go, David Bowie has left the building. Everybody please leave. And as I'm just saying that, behind me, David Bowie comes running up on stage to do Rebel Rebel.
Well, he is a rebel rebel.
He was a rebel rebel.
Yeah, that was my most embarrassing moment on stage. And I've had many, but that was my most embarrassing. Because I've always wanted the public to trust me.
Right.
And I was lying. And I got caught.
Well, you didn't mean the David Bowie. You meant this guy named David Bowie.
But it's the end of the concert. No one even remembered.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, but 40 years later, I remember.
Yeah.
Well, you do, yeah.
We had a conversation. Jimmy Page came up, and I said, you know, the 40s belong to Sinatra, the 50s, Elvis, 60s, Beatles, 70s, who?
Oh, I offhand think of the 70s as Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young, myself. I that's what I would think. And all the you know, the singer-songwriters is what I would say.
Didn't see that one coming.
Yeah,
although the Allman Brothers and the Dead...
Right.
The 70s, you know what? Music got so big that there was no giant star. And there still hasn't been a giant star, if I can remember correctly, since the Beatles. Right. I mean, they were big acts, don't get me wrong, but nobody dominated. And I could be wrong, it's coming off the top of my head. But since music got so popular, I don't think there's, maybe Michael Jackson to some degree. I'm not a fan myself, but yeah. You know, but overall, I don't think there's been anything that's dominated decades like the Elvis and the Beatles did.
And I was wondering why, and then I thought, maybe, and I only have a few seconds, maybe it's because FM radio came along and the
Correct.
Bands didn't have to make hits to get on the radio. So now you don't have that. We're all trying to get on the same chart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And FM radio played lots of different songs, where in AM radio, every hour you hear a Beatles song. Every hour you'd hear an Elvis
right.
song. FM radio was not like that.
Right.
You're right. I think it is FM radio.
Jimmy, thank you for coming on, brother.
You got it.